Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read, and that is Matthew chapter 13, and we shall read again at verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, and from verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath, and so on. As we considered last Sabbath evening, the Lord Jesus taught the people by parables. And there was a definite purpose in view. One purpose was to illustrate and explain the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But the other purpose is more solemn and very searching indeed. And that is to conceal the teaching from those who had no mind to receive it. And so the disciples at this time noticed that the Lord Jesus was speaking to the people in parables. He had spoken to them in parables before, but not so frequently, and not as he is now, one parable after another. And so, the Lord helping us, we want to consider further the reason for the parables. And noticing, first of all, with the Lord's help, the purpose of the parables in regard to its deeper purpose, in fact, the secret purpose of God. And secondly, the response to the parables, what should have been the response, and what should be our response. But thirdly, the blessing regarding the teaching of the parables, the blessing of being taught by the Spirit, the blessing of having these things given to us. So first, the purpose of the parables, secondly, the response to the parables, and thirdly, the blessing in regard to the parables. The Lord Jesus reveals to them the purpose that he had in teaching by parables. That's the first thing to consider, the purpose. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The disciples had been given understanding. And this was because of God's sovereign choice. He gave it to them. They did not merit divine teaching, and no one does. All deserve to perish. All deserve to be passed over and sent to hell for their sin. And the Lord Jesus is telling them, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To know the mysteries. What are mysteries? Well, it is not something that is in itself hard to be understood, but something that has been hid for a time, but is now proclaimed. And that is the gospel. That is the coming of Christ, who the Savior was as to his historical character as Jesus of Nazareth, where he was born exactly and all that he would do. Yes, it was revealed in the Old Testament to some extent, but in a great measure it was hid. But when he came, then it was clearly revealed. Other mysteries, for example, the Gentiles receiving the gospel, that was a mystery. The Jews did not fully understand that the Gentiles would receive the gospel, receive the truth. But then that was revealed later on. So mysteries are really truth that has been concealed or hid for a long time, but afterwards revealed and declared and made open. So the Lord Jesus is telling them that it has been given to them. They are privileged by divine favor in the sovereignty of God. By his free grace, he has given them the understanding of these mysteries. But to others, it is not. And the question we may ask is why? They're being passed over. They're not given this blessing. And they're being punished. But is their punishment arbitrary? Is it without reason? No. God doesn't punish anyone irrespective of their sin. Those who suffer punishment are being punished for their own sin. And the Lord is saying to us and telling the disciples in this passage that many people were being abandoned to their own blindness. They did not want to understand the teaching of Christ, and so they are left to their own misunderstanding. A very important point is that the Lord Jesus began his systematic teaching by parables only after the Pharisees ascribed his casting out demons to Satan. They were saying he's casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, they were rejecting the clear light of the truth of Christ. The light was there. The evidence was there. Christ showed by the miracles the evidence that he was the Messiah. And yet they rejected that evidence. They suppressed it. They did not want to admit the truth. And so the Lord, in response to that, as punishment for their rejection of the truth, began to teach frequently, more frequently, by the parables. And so he's saying, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That's going on to verse 13, but verse 12, the Savior says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Those who love the word of Christ, those who desire to be taught, they will receive more teaching and more understanding. The Lord will explain to them by his word and spirit the meaning of his word. But those who do not understand, those who do not want to understand, the Lord will leave them to themselves, and they will never understand if they go on like that. If they waste the opportunities that are given to them, then further privilege will be denied them, and their wasted opportunities will result in fewer opportunities. The spirit will cease to strive. Their natural light will be extinguished, and their consciences will be left to slumber. You see how solemn this is. If we neglect the opportunities and we neglect the means of grace, the Lord will leave us to ourselves and we will become hardened. And that's what the Lord Jesus is telling us here. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. They did see. But on the other hand, they didn't see. They saw the light. The evidence was there. Christ performed miracles. He taught them. He cast out devils. He proved that he was the Messiah. But though they saw that light, they would not understand. They didn't see it. They would not perceive. They wouldn't understand. They had the faculty of understanding, but they did not still understand and perceive the glory of Christ, and they rejected him. They heard the wonderful teaching. They had ears. They did hear. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. They would not. Though they heard with their ears, they would not obey in their hearts. They heard the most wonderful teaching from the greatest teacher that ever lived, but still they refused to listen, and they would not submit. And so, as a result, the Lord is now teaching in a way that requires further devotion, and this they will not give. He is now going to teach in such a way that calls for more light, more illumination, and that is what they would not seek. They did not want to understand. They did not seek understanding. And the Lord now leaves them to themselves. They may have been entertained. They may have enjoyed listening to the parables, but they did not seek the deeper meaning of them. So, yes, the parables were illustrations. The Lord gave hints, we may say, of the meaning of the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he would often conclude with a summarizing statement that would shed light upon the parable. And if they had only listened further to the Lord Jesus and had joined the disciples to get explanation, how much light they would receive. But they rejected the light, and the Lord leaves them to themselves. And so we see in verse 14 that what was happening was fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." The attitude of the exiles who went to Babylon was coming to expression in the Jews in Christ's day. They had heard the teaching of Christ week after week, and they were getting tired of it, and it was not having the effect. And they were closing their eyes to the clear light and evidence of the truth, the evidence that Christ's claims were true. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." This is one of the most solemn passages that we may come across, that those who put away from them the truth, God will leave them to greater hardness of heart and further darkened understanding. They are left, they are abandoned to their own blindness, and they are judicially blinded, and left to the natural effect of the depravity of their heart. When God is said to have hardened Pharaoh's heart, he does not make Pharaoh sin, but he withdraws the restraining influences of his power and allows his heart to go its own rebellious way. And so here God is in a most sovereign way passing by these multitudes and punishing them for their own sin because they had refused the light. This is the most solemn thing, and it takes place even today. Matthew Henry says, "God is no debtor to man. His grace is his own. He gives or withholds it at pleasure. None of us deserve mercy. None of us deserve God's grace." And why does God give some grace to give grace to some, and why does he not give grace to others? It's not because some deserve it, but because he freely has elected them. It has been given to them. But the others are passed by. And that is God's sovereign choice. They have been offered salvation, but they turned it down. They had the opportunity to go to Jesus and get explanation. They have the privilege of Christ being so near them. And if they had only come to him, Jesus would not have turned them away. But they did not make use of their opportunities. And so now they're being rejected. They're being passed over. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving light and knowledge to those who are willing to receive it. And the others are being passed by and punished for their sin. From eternity, it was God's ordination to pass over some and punish them for their own sin. And that's always important to remember, that they are being punished not arbitrarily, but they're being punished for their sin. And these are so deep realities, but they are in the pages of God's word, and we cannot pass them by. It is not of him that runneth, Paul says, nor of him. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And we ask, why is it? Why does God pass by some and punish them for their sin, and he chooses others to salvation and opens their eyes, and they see the truth and they come to Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us, I thank thee, O Father. He tells us in a way of a prayer, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And if we're ever perplexed about the decrees of God, all we have to do is go to Jesus and see his example and his meekness and lowliness. And yet, while he acknowledges the sovereignty of God, he is again issuing the invitation again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, before we pass on to the second point, the Lord Jesus concludes one of his parables. The proclamation, the invitation was given, but one by one they made excuse. Well, I have this to do and that to do. Have me excused. Well, the Lord Jesus leaves them in the parable and goes on to others and calls them, and they come. And at the end of that parable, he says, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Oh, you see, we must not reject the opportunities. We must not neglect so great salvation, or how else can we escape? So let us consider in the second place the response to the parables. How we should pray that we would not be left to our blindness, but that we would pray earnestly like blind Bartimaeus, "Open my eyes." So the Lord tells his disciples they should take heed how they hear. And that is what we find in Mark chapter 4, from the parable, after the parable about the sower. Verse 23, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So, as we have in our own chapter, Matthew 13, the Lord is saying, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." So we have the teaching. And if we have a desire to be taught, the Lord will teach us. That is the principle that we find here in this part of God's word. It's like playing an instrument. If you learn to play a musical instrument somewhat, that's good. And if you keep playing it, you'll likely get better. But if you neglect it after that entirely, then you'll forget even what you had learned. So the Lord is telling us to make use of what we have. We have received some understanding of the truth. Well, make use of it. and seek further understanding. That is what he is telling us in these in this passage. So going back again to Mark chapter 4, he says, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." So the measure of our attentive hearing is the measure of our spiritual profiting. The more we give attention to God's word, the more we'll get back in the way of understanding. So measure out diligence, measure out attentiveness, measure out desire to understand. And the Lord will measure out to us the ability to understand. He will measure out further teaching. He is telling us that we're to make use of the light he gives us. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? So why do you have a light? Is it so that you can put under the couch and not enjoy the light? No, the light is there to light up the whole room. You put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house." So he is telling his disciples, he is conveying truth to them. And what is this truth for? Is it to be concealed forever? No, it is to proclaim the truth. Verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So we all know, if we read the Gospels, that there were times when the Lord Jesus concealed the fact that he was the Messiah. He told his disciples, "Tell no man what you have seen." He told the demons, of course, to be silent when they were saying, "Thou art the Christ." So for a little while, the truth was being kept close. But the Lord is telling the disciples, it's not forever. It's not, if it's hid, it's not so that it would be kept hid. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And the time was coming when the disciples were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the parables would be opened up. And the plain truth would be taught. And there would be earnest entreaties for sinners to accept the truth and not reject it. Because we read that Paul the Apostle says he would have us to pray for all people. And that is so in accordance with the fact that the means of grace was to be enjoyed by everyone and the gospel is to be preached by to every creature. So he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God delights in the salvation of sinners, and he would have the gospel preached to everyone so that people would know the way of salvation. And how will they hear without a preacher? So the point is that though God has a secret purpose, His decrees from eternity are secret, yet our duty is plain, and that is to make known the truth and not conceal it and proclaim it. And your duty, friend, is to pray for light and pray that God would not leave you to dullness, that hearing the word of God would not be burdensome to you, but that it would be a joy to come to his house, and you would desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so, under this point, the response to the parables is really a response to the whole word of God, and that is, one, give intelligent attention to the parables and to the whole word of God. Intelligent attention, think. Don't think that you can come to church and turn your mind off. We go to church to hear the word of God. And if we were to give attention to anything, to any kind of instructions, surely we should give attention to the infallible and all-searching, sharp sword of the word of God. Give intelligent attention. Secondly, desire to be instructed. Look for teaching, desire that sincere milk of the Word, and earnestly long to know the meaning of the teaching of Christ. As the Word of Christ is to dwell in us richly, it is a Word that ought to be understood, and we should seek understanding. And then thirdly, use what you already know. Make use of what you have been taught. How can we expect further light if we're not endeavoring to live according to the light that we do have? Make use of what we know already, of what we have been taught by the Word and Spirit. So we're to love the truth, to buy the truth and sell it not, and so we will keep it and enjoy it and have the fruit of it now and to eternity. And so we come to the third point, and that is the blessing in regard to the parables and to really to the teaching of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus tells his disciples that though some have been passed by, judicially blinded, so that they will not be saved, very, very solemn, pray that it would not be taking place in your experience, that you would not just grow careless and reject the Word of God, but that these very instructions would stir you up, prick your conscience. How have you been listening? Have you not been listening? And pray for a hearing ear and understanding heart. Your eyes be open. You'd see the preciousness of Christ. But the Lord Jesus is telling those who have been illuminated, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. This is the blessing of the Lord. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You're the subject of spiritual illumination. God, the Father, has revealed it to you by his Holy Spirit. So your eyes see and your ears hear, and they are blessed eyes and ears. And how thankful we should be, every child of God. Rejoice that God has opened your eyes, that he has drawn your heart, that he has shown you the preciousness of Christ, and the Lord, and he's giving you understanding of his Word. And then he goes on to say, verse 17, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." So not only are the Lord's people at the time of Christ and afterwards enjoying blessings which the lost do not, they are enjoying blessings which even the Lord's people have not enjoyed in the past. Think of godly David, or going back to Abraham. They had some light, but they didn't have the privilege of seeing the Lord Jesus walk in Galilee. They did not have what we have, and that's the whole record of Christ's teaching and miracles and death and resurrection, and the teaching of the apostles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we should be very thankful. We should rejoice and count ourselves blessed. The Lord is saying that our eyes and ears are blessed, for we see what kings and righteous men have not in the Old Testament dispensation. We should value our privileges and remember that the more privileges we have, the greater are our responsibilities and obligations, how indebted we are, and how further obligated we are to serve the Lord. So may we ever value the teaching of Christ and ever appreciate and pray for the understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Well, in conclusion, where are we tonight? Do we love the Word of Christ? And do we receive it with meekness? Do we desire to understand it, even the difficult parts? Yes, there are some things that are so high and things that we're not required to reconcile. We seek to understand, we seek to get some light on these things as they are revealed to us, like election, the sovereignty of God, and the free offer and man's responsibility. But we're not obligated to try to see how they harmonize fully and reconcile them. We take both as they are and seek that both truths would have its proper effect in our lives. But apart from the fact that some things are so lofty that the finite mind of man cannot fully comprehend because God is incomprehensible, do we seek to be like Mary, as we've said before, sitting at the feet of Christ, hearing his word? But more than that, not only light and knowledge and understanding, but are we seeking to put these principles into practice? The Lord Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Happy are ye if ye do them. And to not only know them and not only teach them, but to do them, to practice them, to keep the commandments. And finally, whatever our state tonight, our duty is to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Our duty is to go to Jesus, the one who can open our eyes, the one who can set us free from the dark prison house of sin. We're to pray for divine teaching, pray for divine drawing. Our responsibility is to come and to press into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And it is your duty and mine to be one of those violent people, as it were, with all urgency and vehemence, earnestly praying for a blessing. Like Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Pray for ears to hear, pray for eyes to see, for hands and heart to obey, and that we would understand and know the gift of God. Because the Lord Jesus tells us in his word, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you would only go to Jesus, he would not turn you away. And if you sincerely ask, he will truly give everlasting life. May he bless his word. Let us pray.